Welcome to a special edition of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, we bring you an episode of our special holiday musical, The Innkeeper's Wife.
So this Messiah, he could come as anyone, a king or a beggar, a warrior or a child.
Isaiah said he would grow up like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him.
No beauty? But surely the son of David would be...
Would be what? Tall, handsome, draped in purple? We expect the Lord to work in expected ways. That's always been our mistake. We look for the earthquake, and he comes in the whisper. We look for the fire, and he comes in the stillness.
He could be anyone.
He could be anyone. And despite the prophecy, he could be anywhere.
What about the other prophecies? You said there were markers.
Many markers. He would be born of a virgin. Isaiah said that. A sign from the Lord himself.
A virgin birth? That's medically complicated.
I imagine the Lord can manage complicated.
What else?
He would be called out of Egypt, the prophet Hosea. He would be preceded by a messenger, a voice crying in the wilderness. That's Isaiah again, and Malachi too.
Like Elijah?
Like Elijah, yes. Malachi said the Lord would send Elijah before the great and dreadful day. And then there are the darker prophecies, the ones we don't like to speak of.
What do you mean?
Jeremiah spoke of weeping in Ramah, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more.
Why would there be weeping if the Messiah is coming to save us?
Because salvation is costly. Because the enemy doesn't surrender without a fight. Because... I don't pretend to understand all of it. I only know what the prophets said. And they said the coming of the Messiah would be accompanied by both great joy and great sorrow.
That sounds like every day under Roman rule.
Perhaps. Or perhaps something is shifting. Perhaps the sorrow is coming to a head, so the joy can break through.
In Alexandria, there's a Jewish philosopher named Philo. Very learned man. He talks about the Logos, the Word of God. He says it's the divine reason that orders the universe, the bridge between the Almighty and His creation. I never quite understood what he meant. But lately I've been wondering, if God wanted to truly reach us, not just send prophets or laws or signs, but actually reach us, how would he do it?
He would have to come himself.
Once again, Leah, you have profound insight.
But that's impossible. God is God, infinite, eternal. How could he become a man?
How could he speak the world into existence? How could he part the sea? How could he raise dry bones to life? We worship a God of impossibilities, daughter. That's rather the point.
If he came as a man, if he really did, wouldn't we recognize him?
Would we?
Would we recognize God if he were among us? Why would we, when so many others have not? Jacob wrestled with God all night and didn't know who he was fighting until dawn. Moses saw a burning bush and had to be told to remove his sandals. So many of our forefathers and some foremothers too encountered the Lord and didn't recognize him until he revealed himself. It's been true of his angels and sometimes his prophets too. One can be chosen and anointed. One can be supernatural too. Yet somehow go unnoticed to our carnal minds and stone-cold hearts. Manoah offered a sacrifice of a young goat. The angel of the Lord ascended into heaven in the flame of the altar just before the battle of Jericho. Joshua challenged a man with a drawn sword, not knowing he was confronting the commander of the army of the Lord. And it's not just lack of knowledge, not just failing in. Treat those was doubted, Gideon bargained. We are not good at recognizing God when he shows up, especially when he shows up. Too busy watching for the noise.
So we wait, like our fathers waited, like their fathers before them.
We wait, but we wait with our eyes open, because the prophets were very clear about one thing. When the Messiah comes, it won't be in some distant golden age. It won't be in the mythical past or the unreachable future. The scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. That's Genesis. The scepter hasn't departed yet. Herod claims to rule Judah, however illegitimately. But Rome is tightening its grip. The sons of Jacob are scattered to the winds, gathered tonight in overcrowded inns for a pagan census. If the prophecies are true, the time must be close. It must be very, very close.
How would we know? If it happened, if the Messiah came and if we were somehow part of it?
I think we would look back and see it clearly. In the moment, we might not understand at all. We might think it was just another busy night, just another traveller at the door. But later, days, months, years later, we would remember, and we would say, that was the night, that was the moment, that was when everything changed and we didn't even know it.
I came to Bethlehem because a Roman emperor wanted to count his coins. I was furious about it, the inconvenience, the expense, the indignity. But tonight, sitting here with all of you, talking about things I haven't thought about since I was a boy in synagogue, I wonder if maybe there was another reason.
What reason?
I don't know yet, but I feel like I'm supposed to be here. Like something is about to happen. That's foolish, isn't it? A merchant talking about feelings.
It's not foolish. The heart knows things the mind takes time to learn.
It's late. Tomorrow the census officials arrive, and we'll be lucky to have a moment's peace until they're satisfied.
The innkeeper's right. These old bones need rest, even if they can't sense approaching messiahs.
Do you need help to your room, Mother?
I'm old, not helpless. But thank you, daughter. You asked how we would know if we were part of it.
Yes.
I think the answer is, we would be the ones who said yes. When God asks something impossible of us, when he put us in a position we didn't choose and didn't understand, we would say yes anyway. We would trust anyway. You've been saying yes all week, daughter. To the crowds, to the chaos, to the strangers who became family. You've been saying yes without even knowing what you were agreeing to. Maybe that's how it all starts. With small yeses that lead to bigger ones. With ordinary people in ordinary places, opening doors they don't realize lead to eternity.
And if they knock, if someone comes?
Then you do what you've always done. You find room. Even when there's no room left, you find a way.
Heavy thoughts for a heavy night.
Do you think she's right, that something's coming?
I think she's an old woman with a poet's heart and a scholar's mind. I think she sees connections the rest of us miss. And I think if God were going to do something new, he wouldn't send a messenger ahead to announce it. He'd just do it. And we'd all be stumbling around trying to catch up.
I'm so tired, Simon. I don't know if I have anything left for whatever's coming.
You don't have to have anything left. You just have to be here, present, willing. That's always been enough before.
What if this time it needs to be more?
Then we'll find more together.
The words of Isaiah haunt me as I ready myself for bed. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so the uncertainty of the times, I ask the Lord to prepare me for whatever might come to pass.
To be continued.